South Lake. Please stand and worship with us.
Prepare him room. What are we supposed to do? Fight?
I just feel helpless. It's gonna keep getting worse. We won't be helpless when the Messiah comes.
Yeah, he will set us free from these awful Romans.
We won't have to be so afraid of them all the time. We might actually be able to rest on the Sabbath without them looking over our shoulder.
Yeah, I think the Messiah is gonna raise a huge army in Israel.
He'll show the whole world who our God is, just like Joshua did in the promised land.
Every person from every nation will wish they lived here in Israel.
Yeah, no one will even think about trying to overthrow us then. I mean, God even said the Messiah's kingdom would last forever.
Maybe some of us will even get to work in his palace for him when he comes.
That would be amazing, to see the Messiah on his throne.
Can you imagine the celebration, the singing?
All I know is it's going to be incredible.
All I know is that he will come to save us.
Wow, what do you think that was?
Oh, that was me. Your guitar.
Kevin, say.
What's this Jameson right now?
Kevin, say.
Oh, I don't see my name on there. What do you think that was?
I've never seen anything like that in my... anything like that in my whole life. Kevin.
Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news and great joy, which is for all the people.
For today, in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.
Where's the baby we've been searching for?
Let's go see you.
But little Lord Jesus, no.
Would you like to see the baby?
Come on, you can look.
What are you going to name him?
His name will be Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.
Who is Jesus Christ? It's an enormous question. In truth, we often ask, how can that question even be answered in one single statement? If you have been with us over the past couple months, we have been going through a series called Who is Jesus Christ? And every week we're looking at different people, different events, and different aspects of Jesus to help us answer that question, simply because we can't answer it on a single Sunday. The magnitude of who Jesus Christ is, his identity, Emmanuel, the Son of God, is so much bigger than that. As we wrap up this series, we can find yet another answer to this question, who is Jesus Christ, through something right in front of us. There is an explanation of Jesus' identity, his character, in his purpose, hiding in plain sight. It is his name. This morning I want us to read from Matthew 1, beginning in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Now, all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Something we often don't think about today is the importance of names. We don't put the emphasis on naming our children as much as they did in the Old Testament. But names are incredibly important. They are markers of identity. When we think about that, I'll pick on the staff this morning. So Joyce, her name in Hebrew means Lord. Nick, his name means victory of the people. And my name, Michael, means like God. Names have meaning and they have intention. We see that especially throughout Scripture. People's names had theological meanings. And their names were often reminders of different aspects of God's character or actions. As we read Matthew this morning, the angel delivers the message and a command for Joseph to name this miraculous boy Jesus. Why is that name so important? Jesus is what we call him today. But the modern name Jesus actually comes from the Greek Iesus. And that comes from the Aramaic Yeshua and the Hebrew Yehoshua. Names have meaning. And the name Yehoshua means salvation comes from Yahweh. Now, if you're not familiar with Yahweh, that is the Hebrew name for God. That's what throughout the Old Testament, you'll see that there's a lot of different names for God, but the one that encompasses the God of Israel in totality is Yahweh. For us, the Hebrew name Yehoshua is Joshua. In the Old Testament, the young man who became the leader after Moses, the young man who God selected to actually lead the people of Israel into the land God promised them, was named Yehoshua, or Joshua. Joshua was a great leader because he believed God would be faithful to his promise to protect and bless his people. Joshua led the people through battles and into God's salvation, which at the time was a land of blessing where God could live with his people. However, this promised land was not the final step in God's plan. God had an even greater promise to fulfill, one that brought salvation in a way that was different from what the nation of Israel was anticipating. Through the Yehoshua of the Old Testament, God brought salvation to one nation at one particular time. Now, we've arrived at Matthew chapter 1. Through a new Yehoshua, God is promising to bring salvation to all people for all time. Salvation from sin and death itself. His name shall be called Yehoshua, for he will save his people from their sins. This is a plot twist for the people of Israel. At the time, they were under Roman occupation, forced to pay high taxes and often fighting for their right to worship God in a way the Jewish law instructed. They had no king of their own, and so their hope was in God to provide someone to save them like Joshua did in the Old Testament. They wanted someone to come and free them from the oppression of other people. But God has a way of accomplishing something greater than we can ever imagine. Instead of defeating people in a single event, God sent his son as a warrior to defeat the enemy who oppresses all people. So who is Jesus Christ? Jesus is the Son of God, a warrior king who fights against evil itself. He is the one who leads people into the fulfillment of all of God's promises. He is filled with perfect holiness and powerful love. Jesus is the salvation of God coming to everyone in a way expected by no one. Who is Jesus Christ? This innocent, tender child in the manger is your Savior. This is Jesus Christ.
I was saved when I was 11 after growing up in the church my whole life.
My life to the Lord at the age of 13 at a teen retreat. Since then, He has changed my life and influenced every decision I have made.
Jesus saved me nearly 50 years ago.
You know, I never understood why Jesus said I needed to repent. Now I understand that Jesus' way is better than my way.
I used to think following Jesus meant being miserable all the time. Now I understand that following Jesus takes discipline and always finds satisfaction in him.
I used to think following Jesus meant just a long set of rules I had to follow. Now I understand that Jesus sets us free from sin so that we can accomplish God's will through the power of the Holy Spirit.
Try. Jesus is a lot of things, but Jesus is the mercy of God, born in the most humble way possible. He is the Son of the Most High God, the Anointed One, the Warrior King, and yet he is also the suffering servant, born into a manger. It's a confusing display of God's mercy, but it's also a powerful display of his selfless love, that he would be born in this way. Jesus could have easily conquered the Romans. He could have easily left the Jewish leaders with a kingdom of their own. But Jesus knew that sin and selfishness clogged the hearts of both the Roman Empire and the people that they had conquered. Jesus brought salvation not just for the symptoms, for the root cause, for the source of the problem. And salvation from sin comes from the Lord God through Jesus Christ. Salvation comes from the Lord. That's what Jesus' name means. And this is why we call it good news and not good advice. Because for you all today, you're being confronted with the truth of what God has done in the world. This is not something to hear about and then just walk away completely unchanged. You have a decision to make. You're being confronted with the reality that God in heaven sent his Son to bring salvation from sins, and the way he did it is through the most humble way possible. So do not walk out of here this morning unchanged by this. So if you've not received this gift of mercy before, this gift of mercy that is the salvation from sin that entangles all of us, that plagues each of our lives, then this morning is the time to receive the mercy of God. Receiving Jesus is receiving the mercy of God. If you already have received that grace, if you've already received salvation, then your mission that God has given you is to then go out and live like Jesus, to become like him, to follow his way. But what we have to understand, if we want to grow in our relationship with God, is becoming a more godly person, becoming closer in our relationship with Christ, becoming more Christ-like always involves greater humility. It involves becoming more humble, because the more humble and the more selfless we become, the closer to God we are. Because Jesus is also the humility of God. Philippians chapter 2 highlights this humble nature of God. In verses 3 through 6, he says this, Paul says this, "Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to God, even to the point of death, and even death on a cross." Jesus emptied himself and came down out of heaven to serve humanity through showing us what living God's way really looks like. Then, after giving us that display of showing us what God's way looks like, the humility that that entails, he went a step further and he gave his life on behalf of us so that we could be plucked out of our sin. Jesus is the humility of God. So how do we apply the salvation of God? And how do we apply the humility of God to our lives? What do we do with it? How do we respond? Henry Nouwen said, "The divine way is indeed the downward way." The divine way is indeed the downward way. And Henry's life backed it up. Henry Nouwen was a Dutch-born Catholic priest, and he taught psychology at the University of Notre Dame. And he also taught pastoral theology at the divinity schools of Yale and Harvard. This guy has all the credentials you could ever need in academia. But then after that, he left academia. He left his high position at these very well-known schools, world-renowned schools. And you know what he did? He became the pastor of L'Arc Daybreak, which is a community for people with intellectual disabilities. He said the divine way, the way of God, is the downward way. The way of God is the humble way. It's the lowly way. So let your life be modeled as you walk out of this place. Let your life be modeled after the humility of our Savior. When we leave, each of us should go our own way, searching to consider someone else's needs before our own. Searching for opportunities to make others feel more important than we are. Find someone who needs friendship and companionship this Christmas season. Support them. Invite them into your home, even. Consider the financial needs of someone else. Consider someone else's financial needs above your own interests and wants this Christmas, and respond in generosity. Let someone or lift someone else up with your words rather than using them to elevate yourself. Use your words to build others up. The way of Jesus is unexpected, to say the least. We've seen this morning what people thought Jesus was going to do, or what people thought the Messiah was going to do, and Jesus flipped their understanding on its head. The way of Jesus is unexpected. It is much more humble and much more selfless than the way that we typically live. But his name is Jesus, because he will save the people from their sins. Therefore, we should follow the way of Jesus, because he is the mercy of God. He is the humility of God. He is the love of God. And he is the salvation of God. Let's respond now to all of who Jesus is in prayer. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, we come to you this morning, each with our own expectations of who you are and who you should be and what you should do and how we want you to speak to us and what we want you to do in our lives. But Lord, I pray that right now that we would see you as you truly are, that we would see the gift that you are in our lives. God, we thank you for your humility. You are glorious, and you fill heaven with your goodness and your power and your authority. But God, every decision you make, every move you make, every word you speak, it's all from a place of selfless, self-giving, generous, faithful love for us, for your people, God. I pray that today we would see the glory and the humility, the beauty of you being born as a baby. And not born as a baby into a palace, God, but you were born into a manger. God, as we walk out of here, I pray that you would lead us and you would guide us and you would speak to us and you would shape us to be people who reflect your humility and your selfless love into the world. God, there is a world thirsty for you. We thank you that you are the one who came down to be with us and that you do not leave us. Your word is true, God. You promise that you won't leave us. And so as we leave today, as we are sent out of here, that we would carry you with us, that we would be humble towards others, that we would consider their needs above our own, that we would love others like you have loved us, that we would stoop down and care for those in our lives who need cared for, and that in that way we would share the love of Jesus with them. God, thank you for your impact, for your change in our lives, the way that you have led us to yourself, even when we had no desire to be with you. God, you beckoned us home, and you welcomed us with open arms. And so, God, I pray that you would continue to be faithful to us, and most of all, Lord, that we would see it with, that we would truly see you for who you are, and that we would praise you for your involvement in our lives. Lord Jesus, we pray all of these things in your loving and your humble name. Amen.
Church, this morning, I think you've seen the very nature of Jesus, the character of Jesus being lived out before you. It's a wonderful sight. I want to recognize two groups this morning. First, can we give a round of applause for our children, all the kids and the high school students that helped out? If that doesn't warm your heart, we have some hot chocolate out front. You need to drink some more of that because they did an awesome job. The other group that I want to recognize is just the vast army of volunteers who've come together to make this church look so very incredible for Christmas. The worship team, the AV team, there are so many. I don't want to forget anybody, but can we just thank the volunteers who have worked so hard to give you a wonderful Christmas program. So as is our tradition here, if you would like to receive a blessing this morning, would you please rise and hold out your hands like this? Brothers and sisters, this morning we concluded a series answering who is Jesus Christ. Through the series, you've been blessed with seeing him through new and fresh eyes. Take that message with you this holiday season. And then over the next week or so, you're going to gather with so many family and friends. I want you to ask a question to them. Who is Jesus Christ? And be blessed by the response. Today, find somebody, hug them, tell them you love them, wish them a Merry Christmas, for you are precious children in the eyes of God. God bless you all.